In the evening news always has this hook at the beginning to get your attention. And it might be the cost of living, or the cost of groceries, or how petrol has gone up, or electricity, or climate change, or the housing shortage, or wars in Ukraine, or Gaza, or India and Pakistan. This is kind of the bait, isn't it? It's the hook that you all have to watch. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. Like, oh no, what are they going to say? How's it going to affect my life? This is just their bait, right? They want you to be hooked in, and we fall into the hook all the time. I have news for you. Human life has always been stressful. It is no more stressful than any other time in human history. Every generation, there have been wars, great depressions, drought, flood, famine, plague, earthquake. If your philosophy of life isn't strong enough to help you through the challenges of life, it's inadequate. Because we know they're going to be there. So we need an anchor, something to hold on to. How can we cope with the world we live in? What do we have to hold on to? Or who's in charge? Jesus says, my purpose is to give the sheep, that's you lot, a rich and satisfying life. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. When we say the good shepherd, it means like the good doctor, a caring doctor, the good teacher, a caring teacher, the good shepherd. The shepherd looks after his sheep. Now, you know, that's an insult, isn't it? If horses get away, they become brumbies and powerful and strong and speedy. Pigs get away, they become feral pigs. Goats get away, they become feral goats. You ever heard of feral sheep? They're too dumb. What other animal can actually get lay in a mud puddle and can't get up again? Right? They get bogged in mud. Sheep, they're sort of like, who's going to look after me? All the other animals, they can take care of themselves. We're our own worst enemies, aren't we? We don't like to admit we need help. But we're kind of helpless like sheep. And Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And the Pharisees actually despise shepherds. Well, you know, they didn't keep all the rules. They didn't wash their hands before they ate. Oh, my goodness. They didn't go to church all the time, to the synagogue. They didn't obey all the rituals. They couldn't be witnesses in court because the Pharisees decided they always lied, so they couldn't talk in court. And you definitely wouldn't want your daughter to marry a drover, right? Like, he's never going to own a house. And yet Jesus humbles himself and becomes one of us. He becomes a human being. Who come to his birth? The shepherds, the drovers, the ones that people didn't want their daughter to marry. They're the ones who came to his birth. He is the friend of sinners. So I want to talk about five wonderful things about Jesus. Five good things about Jesus. What's so good about Jesus? Number one is his amazing care for you. He says the good shepherd lays down his life or sacrifices his life for the sheep. That is not normal. That is not normal. No father who had a son who was looking after the sheep was hoping his son would die to save the sheep. The sheep aren't worth that much. Yes, it would be good if they could keep the wolf away, but if push came to shove, better that the sheep dies than that the son dies. There are many jobs that are risky, whether it's CFS or SES or AMBOs. Yes, they are in risky situation, but they do expect to live. That's the way a shepherd was. He expects to live. No father wanted his son to die for the sheep. And so King David talked about how he killed a lion and a bear, but he did live. His father wouldn't have been happy if it was otherwise. In fact, actually, sheep were sacrificed for shepherds. So at Passover, you had to eat the lamb, or if you went to the temple and confessed your sins, a lamb was sacrificed for you. But Jesus reverses it. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is his voluntary plan of salvation. And yet we rebel. I like to be my own God. Like, I would control the weather different. We wouldn't be so dry. I want to be in charge. I want to be in control. And that's that struggle of our life, isn't it? That constant wanting to be in charge and never actually getting to be there causes a lot of stress. And so we end up sinning in thought, words, and deeds. We hurt the very ones that we love. And as much as we complain about other people gossiping about us or bullying us, we've had our hand in it also. And our sins deserve punishment. But Jesus offers himself as a sacrifice, his death for us. So what's good about Jesus? First off, his amazing care for you, that he's willing to suffer for you, sacrifice himself for you. The second good thing about Jesus is he knows you. Now, we all desperately want to be known, but only a bit, only a bit. In high school, I used to have this dreadful dream, and I hear in psychology it was actually a common dream. So I'm in a high school of 800 people. I'm in the passage. I am stark naked at my locker, and I've got a combination lock, right? And I'm dyslexic. I can never get combination locks to work. 91 becomes 19, you know. I'm there, and there's the clock above me going like this, and when it gets up there, the bell will ring, and 800 people are going to walk out of those doors, and there I am, stark naked. I would wake up at that point. In psychology, they said, that's a really common teenage dream. It just means you're changing. It's part of your changing. Who will I be if I'm not who I was? Anyway, we want to be known, but there's limits to how much we want to be known. So when I was 10 and we started going to church and I started going to Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher said, Jesus is with you wherever you are. Jesus sees you. And I was terrified. I went home and I wanted to pull the shade down. No. Yes, I want to be known, but only so far. Jesus, the amazing thing is Jesus knows you and he loves you anyway. He becomes one of us. The shepherd becomes a sheep. I wouldn't want to be a sheep. A, it stinks. No, I wouldn't, no. And shearing, no, I wouldn't want to be a sheep. But Jesus becomes one of us. So all the wonderful power that he has filling the universe, he gives all that up so that he could be one of us. He lived among us in our skin. He felt all the sorrows, all the bullying, all the gossip, all the sicknesses, all the sweatiness, all the hunger, all of that. And yet the consequences of our own sin wrecks our own lives. But when we look at our children, sometimes the consequences of their own lives, we can see that it's hurting them or maybe hurting us. When do we get to stop being a mother or a father? We don't. And I've mentioned before my son that I hadn't seen for 13 years. You never actually get to stop being the father. And even though the consequences of his own, his bad choices were wrecking his life, you're still his father. And this year, I am with my son again. I feel like the prodigal father in the story. We never get to stop being a father or a mother. Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. And so he is never shocked. He is never shocked. I never heard of that temptation. No, he's had that one. There is no temptation that you can have that he didn't have. And yet Jesus loves you anyway, in the same way that I love my son anyway. So what's so good about Jesus? A, he loves you and he died for you. Number two, he knows you and he loves you anyway. We're always afraid that if they really knew us, they might not love us. Number three, he forgives us. So on the cross, when they nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. We need forgiveness. We actually can't carry the guilt of our own sin. Guilt makes us stuck in the past and we can't deal with the present or the future. He teaches us to say, Father, forgive us our sins, that awful part, as we forgive those who sin against us. So, Sometimes it's hard to forgive other people. My first wife was stealing money from our family, and you can't work out, like, why would you do that to our children? But if I don't forgive, I am stuck in bitterness. It's a poison. And we see that around us, people who are stuck in bitterness and can't move on. When he tells us to forgive, it's so that we actually aren't sick. He's trying to set us free. And we see that if you think of someone like Prince Harry, who was the most popular royal, and yet got stuck in his own bitterness and managed to blow his life apart. Or Trump's another person who seems to be stuck in his own bitterness. There's a law that says, a spiritual law that says you become what you hate. It doesn't have exceptions. You become what you hate. And as I look at Israel today, you go, yes, you hated what the Nazis did to you, and you're doing the same thing to the people in Gaza today. That rule that you become what you hate, that's one reason why we have to forgive, otherwise we make ourselves sick. It's giving us that freedom to move on. So, A, we have to forgive those who sin against us, and then the other one is forgiving ourselves. That is hard. In the past, I was groomed, and I need to forgive that person and the things from my marriage. Otherwise, I just make myself sick. What doesn't hurt those people? They're all dead. So it's being forgiven by God, but that gives us the power to forgive those who hurt us and then to forgive ourselves, which is jolly hard. Forgiveness gives us the freedom to move forward. It gives us the ability to sleep at peace at night. It gives us the ability to face the future. So what's so good about Jesus? He loves you, and he died for you. He knows you, and he loves you anyway, and he forgives you and sets you free. Number four, he won't give up on you. So there's the parable of the lost son. Or we'll go the lost sheep first. There's a parable of the 99 sheep, the 100 sheep, and one is missing. And there's a wonderful painting of a cliff, and there's a ledge here, and there's the sheep down there, and laying here is the good shepherd who's putting his hand down and going to pull that sheep up. When I had, you know, a name card, that was a picture on my name card. This is Jesus out in the rain trying to find us. Or again, he tells us a parable of the prodigal son, where the son has blown his life apart, comes home, and the father loves him anyway. In fact, the son's problems are what force him back to his father. Jesus won't give up on you. No matter how much we blow our life up, he's always that loving shepherd, that loving father who wants us back. So what's so good about Jesus? He loves you. He died for you. He knows you and loves you anyway. He forgives you to set you free, and he won't give up on you. And the fifth one is, he conquers death for you. And so, in that 23rd Psalm, it said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's already that promise of life forever. We live in bodies that begin to fail, you know. There's hip replacements, knee replacements, and I'm now on blood thinners and all that sort of stuff. Everything wears out. And he promised us a new, a young, a strong, a healthy body. I will live in the house of the Lord forever. We wonder, is this true for me? Or is it for other people only? It's one reason why he gives us such physical things like baptism. You know that you were baptized and claimed by Jesus. Or when we take the Lord's Supper, you know that you have received Jesus' body and blood. You are mine. So yes, the news will always have their hook trying to get you. Cost of living, groceries, petrol, electricity, climate change, housing shortage, wars, just the bait. How do we cope? What do we hold on to? Who is in charge? Jesus says, my purpose is to give the sheep, that's you, a rich and satisfying life, because I am the good shepherd. So what's so good about Jesus? He loves you. He died for you. He knows you and loves you anyway. He forgives you, sets you free to forgive others and yourself. And he promises, he won't give up on you, and he promises to give you life forever. It's not just 80 years that we have, it's eternity. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this is how we can face life, because we have the Good Shepherd. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus.